We actually have the guy who usually is hosting this show, one Ben Criddle, on the line. Ben, what's up, my friend?
Hey, what's happening? We're doing a little throwback here, Red and Blue Show. Red and Blue Show. How's that going with the youth in the studio?
Oh, it's great, Ben. I was dying to ask you. It's alumni day. So did you hurt an ankle, roll an ankle out there today? I'm assuming that you threw the pads on as well, and you weren't the only alumni that was that threw the helmet back on.
Dude, I roll an ankle as soon as I start thinking about football again. So I do have the ankle braces on just in case, because it is alumni day. Fortunately for me, I did not have to take part in any sort of football activities, but I did watch a few. So let me break down a couple things for you that have already occurred today. Right now, they're doing some half-field skelly, some two-on-three type of pass skelly. But before this, they had the Q&A with Bronco Mendenhall, and Bronco addressed some of the concerns of the program coming from the alumni. We all know that the alumni have had some just questions, concerns about how it's been running. There's been some vocal members of the Band of Brothers that are concerned. And, one of the things that was brought up in that Q&A was missing out on former players' sons, the Empies, the Reeds. How does that happen? Did we miss the ball on that? And Bronco Mendenhall was steadfast. He said that, we were not behind the eight ball. We are out in front in trying to recruit these young men. He even mentioned a couple of quotes from Lavelle Edwards. And he brought up an example. Lavelle Edwards missed out on a guy in his backyard that was a 4- or 5-star recruit, Scott Mitchell, who went on and played for the Utes. And then with the Detroit Lions in the NFL, and he was just right down the street in Spanish Fork. So sometimes, you try your best, and unfortunately you don't, you're not able to wrangle in all the best recruits, especially those that are have already been a part of the program in their family. But I thought the Q&A was strong and solid coming from Bronco Mendenhall. And then we came out here, and the only competitive drills that were going on were actually amongst the defensive backs. The defensive backs, get this, guys, they were doing a sumo drill. Have you ever seen a sumo drill?
I've seen it. Describe it for us, Ben, because we've seen it here, I think, but describe it to the listeners.
Okay, so the sumo drill. So they have a cylinder, right? It's like a little hula hoop. And it was probably about, 5 feet, or not 5 feet, 5 yards in diameter. And two defensive backs line up across from each other about a yard apart, and then they go in as fast as they can, trying to stay low, and they grasp a hold of each other. They're putting their helmets into each other's, each other's faces, and they try to push the other guy either to the ground or outside of the circle. So I've never seen this at BYU. I was never a part of a drill like this. We did, the Cougar drill, but there was some competitive nature flowing through these guys' veins. Chris Badger looked really good. BJ Fafita, a guy that no one's really talked about, not as great in coverage, hasn't seen a whole lot of playing time, but he was really good in that, and it was competitive, man. It was fun to see.
Ben, what do you think that does for a secondary? You played it. What does it do for you?
Well, I just think, you got to find out who the alpha male is out of your group. That's the best way to find out who the alpha male is, and then there's respect garnered out of that. So you have tough guys in the secondary, headhunters, and then you have playmakers and athletes. Both of those types of players can see the field and end up starting. So, like, for instance, a Chris Badger, maybe not as athletic, but, when you put the pads and helmet on, his strength and his leverage and his want to and will, I mean, in that sumo drill, he just garnered a whole lot of respect from his teammates right there. And then the smaller guys, they don't want any part of that. It was funny, Coach Al said, if you don't want to be a part of this drill, you can come over here with Brandon Bradley and do some 3-step footwork. Who wants out? Who wants out? He's calling them all out. The other guy that wanted to be a part of it was Brett Mortensen, your physical therapist, Jan Jorgensen. He was there. He was calling out names. No, but I love that type of competitive nature. I love it when you're doing one-on-ones and you're seeing who that alpha male is, right, who that alpha dog is. And that's what it came down to in that drill.
How much of that do you think is Coach Hal trying to almost breed out what happened last year with that secondary?
Oh, you're spot on, Jan. You're spot on. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to make people earn it. He's trying to make you work hard. He's trying to make people compete, because I don't think they really did that drill at all last year. I think those that are weak, both mentally and physically, you know, they don't want any part of that drill. And if you don't want a part of that drill, then you probably shouldn't be in the defensive backfield at Brigham Young University, because all the defensive backs that I've seen be great throughout BYU's storied history have been physical athletes that have that will and want to win at all costs.
Hey, Ben, I don't know if you can make a guesstimate of how many guys showed up this year, but what's the overall feeling? I mean, it just seemed like it'd be kind of cool to run into guys you haven't seen for a long time, and maybe guys you wanted to meet but haven't seen. What's the general feeling out there with the alum?
You know, I think it's a decent turnout. I don't think it's a great turnout. I would have loved to see more, but, you know, it's a Friday afternoon. There's alumni that, you know, have jobs and they have families, and, there's a lot of guys out here that have been critical of the program. Though Derek Stevenson showed up, Derek was able to ask some questions with Bronco, and actually Derek went up to Bronco after the fact and gave him a big hug. So, you know, you can take that for what it's worth, but, you know, Derek, you know, he's passionate, and I think he makes mistakes and he calls people out in a fit of passion, but I think he's trying to make amends, within the program that he loves. But I wish it would have been a better turnout, but it's a decent turnout.
I'm just wondering, we have an alum sitting here in the host chair. How did you convince Jan to stay here in the studio instead of going and being an alum? I'm sure he got an invite, right? You got an invite.
I got an invite.
Okay.
He got the invite. So I told him, I was like, hey, you know, when I called him, I'm like, so this is what's going on. We have the alumni event, Jan. I don't know, like, if you want to go, you can go and I'll host and then we'll have you go live, or I can go down and then that's how that conversation went, Darnell. It was me trying to convince Jan that I needed to be down here so that Jan needed to host. And luckily for me, Jan's a good friend. And he said, all right, Criddle, I see where you're coming with this. I'll do you a solid and I'll be the host today.
It was more like this, Darnell. It was Ben called me up and said, you know, I talked to one of our former teammates who's down there on the coaching staff, and he really wants a showing out of us down there. It's alumni day, and so I think that one of us should go down there, and I would like to do it. That's what Ben said. And I would like to be the one.
Hey, guys, let me give you a quick update. They're doing 7-on-7 right now. Taysom Hill's leading the charge right now. Mitch Matthews just got a reception on the 10-yard line. Looks like it is second down and goal. Another reception to Mitch Matthews on a little 4-yard hitch. But this offense looks good, man. I was just watching one-on-ones. These wide receivers just keep toasting these defensive backs. There was a couple of pass breakups and some good baseball turns, some good double moves out here being employed by these wide receivers. But man, they're looking really good. They're going to be able to put up a lot of points this year. And I know Bronco Mendenhall has emphasized that, but there it is, touchdown pass to Terren Houck on a drive route across the middle from Taysom Hill. Just a little 6-yard touchdown right here on the first drive of 7-on-7. So offense is already imposing its will on the defense.
Ben, we were talking about Taysom earlier in the show and just how important it is to have him out there. I would probably say the only criticism I would ever give Taysom Hill is just that touch, that ability to take some off on those shorter routes and have more accuracy. Are you seeing that in him this spring? I know he hasn't been able to run. I know he's running a lot better, but have you seen a change and an improvement there from what you're seeing?
You know, I think there's a slight improvement. I can't say that it's where I want it to be as a former player, from what I saw from guys like John Beck, Max Hall, some of the greats that have come through BYU. He's just so muscle bound. He's so tight. He's got so much fast twitch muscle fiber that, it's just not a part of his genetic makeup, really. Like, when you're that explosive, it's much more difficult. You know what? I think he needs to just sit this entire off season out from the weight room and just do yoga. You can just loosen up that body. I'm dead serious because he's already just too explosive for his own good. I'll tell you what, when he goes to the pro combine, he's going to make everybody look like a bunch of little girls in that quarterback position. He'll do 30 reps on the bench and run probably a 4.4. That'll make everybody look silly.
Oh, I totally agree with that. But the thing that I foresee out of that coaching staff, though, is trying to dial that down a little bit, because it has been his legs that have, I mean, the one 2 years ago against Utah State, the injury, or 3 years ago, was a little bit different, but it's preserving him and protecting him. And the more they can dial him down from using those, all of his fast twitch muscle fibers, the more chances they have of keeping him healthy this year. So I see that
I agree. I agree. I mean, you know, the question is, how do you hold Taysom Hill accountable? You know, and that's my rebuttal to that. Like, you know, you try your best to tell him, hey, stay in the pocket. Don't get outside the pocket. Go through your progression. Get the ball out on time. But, you know, do you bench Taysom Hill?
No, I mean, you can't.
You can't bench.
You absolutely can't.
Do you bench Taysom Hill? No, you can't. Like, so that's my problem. Like, you know, the only way to teach, you know, new behaviors is to hold people accountable for their old behaviors, right? And you really can't. I mean, he's been held accountable with his own injuries, right? But he still, if he doesn't see the game, right, if he doesn't see the progression, if he doesn't know how to get the ball out on time, Taysom Hill's going to scramble. He's going to extend a play, and he's going to try to, you know, make play with his legs. Hopefully, the one thing that I would like him to do, because I know he's going to continue to extend plays, I just want him to watch more film of Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is not a pocket quarterback. He extends plays, but he always keeps his eyes downfield. He never necessarily wants to run. He just wants to keep his eyes downfield. And I think if Taysom can do that, watch a little bit more film of Russell Wilson, and try to make connections outside of the pocket downfield, I think it could be a great season for him.
Ben, I'll tell you who I think is the guy that I think he should watch. I don't disagree that he should watch Russell Wilson, but I think the guy that gave him the perfect map was Marcus Mariota this last year. I think you go back and you watch Marcus Mariota play over this last year, he was not looking to run. He used his legs to extend opportunities for him to pass, and then ran when he absolutely had to. And I think he evolved over that. I think if Taysom took a look at a guy who runs a similar offense and watched how Mariota did it and did it perfectly, I think he could learn a lot.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Jan. The only problem I see with that comparison is that Mariota does not like contact, whereas Taysom Hill loves him.
He thrives on it.
He needs to learn not to
like
it.
You know what I mean? I know, but how can you change it? Like, you can't change a zebra's stripes, man. You can't make him into polka dots. Jan Jorgensen loves him some contact. I can't tell Jan Jorgensen, oh, no, Jan, why don't you play a little patty cake here? No, like, you want to go, you want to hit somebody, you like to get punched. Why? Because it gives you a little bit of that adrenaline rush. It's how your chemical makeup is. Like, you know, you can't change yourself, man. And I try to figure out ways that you can change Taysom Hill, and the more I contemplate and try to analyze it, I'm like, there's no way you can change him, man. You just hope that the one thing you hope is that when he extends plays, he either throws the ball away, or he keeps his eyes just downfield to make a play with his arm rather than his legs. That's all you can hope for. But, another pick, an interception. Taysom Hill was driving down. He was at the 25, and interception. He was trying to go through some progressions. It was Micah Hanneman on the pick. Micah Hanneman's been stepping up lately, guys. I had a conversation with Brandon Bradley yesterday. He stated that Micah Hanneman might be locking down that field corner spot in fall. So he just picked off a Taysom Hill rocket into the flats.
Yeah, Ben, I think that's a good point. We're talking about Taysom Hill, and he throws a pick here. To me, this all comes down to making good decisions. And those decisions are obviously a lot of them based on instinct. Some of them are based on watching film. Some of them are based on what the play is. But he's got to make good decisions. And the threat that he might run is almost as powerful as when he does, because the defense has to respect
that.
You can't say, well, you didn't run the last two times, so I'm going to go ahead and drop back in coverage and give him that 20 yards in front of you. You can't do that. What makes Taysom is his ability to scramble out of those things and to make the threat of that run. And when Taysom learns how to utilize that threat to get a defensive back to commit to him, to toss it to a guy or to get out of bounds or whatever. Those are the things that are going to preserve him and keep him on the field, because you talked about preserving him. Yeah, but he still has to be Taysom. He still has to be that guy that is a dual threat out there that can either throw it or run it, and you have to account for that when you're a defensive coordinator, or you're going to get burned. And him becoming a better passer, I think, I don't know how much, you know, Ben said he hasn't seen a ton of it so far in spring, but I think that it's going to improve, because to me it's just kind of the same thing that Kyle Collinsworth going through his knee rehabilitation. He shot a lot of free throws because that's all he could do. He couldn't run around. He couldn't jump. He shot free throws. Taysom is being told, stay in the pocket. Don't get too crazy. Just work on your mechanics, all those things. I think he's going to improve that part of his game where he's going to be a better pocket passer with better touch. I saw his percentage get up, right?
Yeah.
His percentage went up last year, so I think that there's things that he will improve on, and I think he's on that path right now.
You know, yeah, I agree with you, Darnell. He's definitely going to improve. You just hope he improves enough to where, you know, he's as successful or more successful than he was last year, so he doesn't put himself in harm's way. So that, it's still waiting to be seen, but what I just saw right there was Taysom Hill. He's on the 25-yard line going in. So, I mean, he's almost in the red zone, and he's going through his progressions. You know, he's trying not to scramble, right, because they're not letting him do that. And he went to his final read, and rather than throwing away, he was trying to rely on his arm strength, tried to rocket it into the flat. And Micah Hanneman, being a superior athlete, which BYU is going to see all year, jumped right in front of the wide receiver and took it to the house.
Ben, we're up against it, but I have one last question to ask you before we let you go. Is one of the big things of spring ball has been how much the receivers have dominated the secondary there at BYU. We know that secondary is young, but now that you have your eyes on them, is it a case of them being just young and not knowing thing and not having had a chance to mesh, or are they just getting their butts kicked because they're not as good?
No, these wide receivers are pretty dang good this year. I mean, Kurtz, I watched it in one-on-ones. Gary Juergens had perfect coverage. Baseball turn on a post corner was, you know, maybe a yard behind him, but was tracking Nick Kurtz. Nick Kurtz, phenomenal body control, elevates, has enough arm strength. You know what I'm talking about, the hand and arm strength, where you're having to be completely away from your body and catching the ball, right? It's not up against the chest when the pigskin's coming up against your chest, your face mask or anything like that. Was able to haul it in over the top of Garrett Juergen and then bring it back over the top of him while getting hit to the ground. You know, that's a play that's made by elite wide receivers, and I think this crew is freaking good. Mitch, Kurtz, Devon Blackman, and then you have great possession receivers and Kurt Henderson, Colby Pearson, there's Mitchell Juergens. These guys are good. They're legit. The defensive backs will come along. Mike Hanneman's going to be a baller. Michael Shelton is going to be good. Mike Davis is going to be good. I think Morgan Unga is going to be good. Chris Badger will be solid at that free safety spot. But it'll come around. The front seven is solid enough. The question is, can you get a decent enough pass rush this next year, Jan? And I can't wait to get your analysis once you get your eyes on Bronson in the fall and some of these other outside linebackers and DNs, because I think that's going to be telling. Because I think you can play some umbrella zone coverage behind it with some of these defensive backs, as long as you can get a decent pass rush.
Ben, we appreciate your time. Have fun down there the rest of Alumni Day.
Oh, yeah. No problem. Thanks for having me on, guys, onto this great show.
Thanks for having me on my own show that I didn't come to today. And I appreciate you letting me come on my own show.
Jan, you're the man. Thanks so much. Thanks, Darnell.
Ben's sucking up right now, man. Ben's sucking up.
We do appreciate Ben.